How to Fix Obesity in the United States. My last podcast talked about obesity in this country and how significant the problem is. It's an epidemic. What I did not talk about was the solution to the problem. I did not outline any proposals to effectively deal with the obesity problem. Beyond the obvious actions of more exercise and eating a better diet, is there anything else? The answer is yes. Yes, indeed. Anti-obesity medications and treatments and weight loss drugs. Ozempic, Zepbound, Wegovy, and other weight loss drugs are classified as GLP-1 receptor. The medications mimic a hormone called GLP-1, which helps regulate blood sugar levels, appetite, and insulin response, leading to weight loss. The key ingredient in both Ozempic and Zepbound that makes them effective for weight loss is semaglutide. Semaglutide is a GLP-1 receptor, and this is how it works. It suppresses appetite. It interacts with areas of the brain that regulate appetite. It essentially tells your brain that you're full, reducing hunger and food cravings. It makes it easier for individuals to eat less without feeling deprived. Secondly, it slows gastric emptying. It slows down how quickly food leaves the stomach, which helps you feel fuller for longer after eating. And third, it regulates blood sugar. It stimulates insulin secretion and helps control blood sugar levels, which is why semaglutide is used for treating type 2 diabetes. Stabilized blood sugar levels can also reduce food cravings, especially for sugary foods. Semaglutide has been shown to significantly reduce body weight in clinical trials by helping people feel full sooner and for longer periods. It encourages lower caloric intake, leading to weight loss when combined with proper diet and exercise. I can speak about this from personal experience. I was diagnosed with a pre-diabetic condition 1 year ago. The prescription was to inject each week Ozempic into my body. I did this for 6 months, and the results were amazing. I lost 25 pounds. I did this while keeping my same exercise and diet routine. I had no apparent side effects. The good news here is that there are now drugs available that can dramatically reduce weight, and if taken widely, would significantly reduce the obesity epidemic that we have in our country. The bad news is, first of all, these drugs are in short supply and not readily available. And secondly, they're outrageously expensive, and Medicare and most insurance companies will not cover any or all of these costs. Again, sadly, I have some personal experience with this bad news. During the last 6 months of 2023, I was able to get Ozempic and to get Medicare, my health plan, to cover a significant portion of the monthly cost of Ozempic. The way I was able to get Ozempic is that I was diagnosed as a pre-diabetic. I was not able to get Ozempic for weight loss. My monthly out-of-pocket cost was approximately $200, which I consider to be wonderful since the cost of the drug is approximately $1,300 per month. That's right, $1,300 per month. But then in January of 2024, Medicare changed its policy to no longer pay for a portion of the cost of Ozempic for pre-diabetics. Medicare continues to pay for the drug for diabetics, but not for pre-diabetics or for weight loss. All of a sudden in January, I'm facing $1,300 a month to continue my Ozempic. Needless to say, I stopped using Ozempic because of the cost. And as a result, I regained the 25 pounds and then some. But this story is not about me. It's about how do we make these drugs available to the 50% of Americans who are obese. Here's what we need to do. The Peterson Plan. First and foremost, the President and Congress should declare obesity as a national health emergency, similar to the priority that we're giving cancer in this country. We should do the same with obesity, a national priority, the equivalent of a moonshot. Second, the following policies should be implemented. Exert regulatory pressure for price reductions. Allow Medicare to negotiate drug prices directly, which is currently restricted. Secondly, expand insurance coverage. Allow these drugs to be used for obesity. Third, develop generic drugs and allow compounding, encouraging and speeding up the process for generic versions of these drugs could help lower prices. Generic medications are usually much more affordable, and this could help them be more accessible to more people. Since there's a clinical need that cannot be met by FDA-approved drugs, instruct the FDA to allow compounding. Compounding pharmacies could indeed provide a potential solution to the high cost and limited supply of obesity medications like Ozempic. These pharmacies can create a copycat version of these drugs by combining active ingredients tailored to individual patient needs. This in turn will create competition with the name brand weight loss drugs and as a result drive down prices. And finally, permit cross-border healthcare solutions. Patients sometimes look for international mail order pharmacies or travel to other countries for cheaper medications, even though there are regulatory hurdles. Pushing policies that allow for easier importation of FDA-approved drugs at lower prices could alleviate costs for Americans. The same drugs that cost $1,300 a month in the USA cost $200 a month in Europe. And finally, provide subsidies or financial assistance. Providing subsidies for those who can't afford these medications should be developed. The Reverend Al Sharpton has said, quote, "It's fair to say that if obesity has a stranglehold on America, it has a death grip on Black America. Almost 60% of Black women are living with obesity, which kicks the door wide open to hundreds of other related conditions, including type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, stroke, and high blood pressure," unquote. The federal government should also take two other actions. The Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, should approve these drugs for weight loss. And Medicare should cover the costs of these weight loss drugs. And while all this is going on, the public needs to be aware of scams. There's a lot of misinformation out there, and it's important to focus on legitimate, evidence-based treatments for obesity. For example, keto gummies are popular because they provide convenient, easy-to-consume supplements that align with low-carb, high-fat principles of the keto diet. And there's a popular rumor floating around that keto gummies were featured on the Shark Tank and that all the sharks invested in them. However, this claim is untrue. No such product has ever appeared on the show, and there's never been an episode where all the sharks jointly invested in a single weight loss product like keto gummies. Unfortunately, once again, I can relate to this since I fell for the scam. I'm a big fan of the Shark Tank, and when I heard that this was well known and the investors in the Shark Tank invested in keto gummies, I immediately purchased some, hoping to lose weight as advertised. I've taken them for more than a month and have not lost 1 pound. Now, you may ask, how do we pay for all this over the next 20 years? Estimating the cost to the U.S. Treasury for allowing Medicare to pay for Ozempic and similar weight loss drugs over 20 years, as well as the potential savings from reduced healthcare costs related to obesity, involves a few key assumptions. The first is the price of the drug. On the public market, it's $1,300 per month, but the Europeans pay $200 per month, and if we allowed our government to negotiate the price, it would be something probably between the two. And then secondly, the number of beneficiaries that would be impacted by this. You know, there's now 44 million people enrolled in Medicaid, and approximately 50% of the adults in the U.S. are obese. Assuming a portion of this Medicare population would qualify, perhaps 15 to 20% of Medicare recipients could use these medications. Using these two assumptions, I'm calculating that it would cost about $102 billion per year. At the highest price, at $1,300 a month, over 20 years, this would cost about $2 trillion, assuming no price reductions or shifts in usage. If we got the negotiated price down to $200 a month, the cost over 20 years would be about $300 billion. Now, what are the savings that would be offset this expenditure? Well, the obesity-related health costs are huge, from diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. And it's estimated now by the CDC that it costs us $173 billion a year annually to deal with this. And the savings over time by reducing obesity over 20 years would amount to about $340 billion in savings. And that's assuming 10% of the people that are obese would benefit from it. If we assume 20%, it could lead to a savings of $680 billion over 20 years. So net impact on the U.S. Treasury, the total drug cost over 20 years would be about $300 billion if the prices were negotiated. And the healthcare savings would be between $340 and $680 billion, depending upon the extent of the obesity reduction. So in the best case scenario, the U.S. could save more in healthcare costs than it would spend on covering these drugs, potentially leading to a net savings of up to $380 billion over 20 years. Even in a conservative scenario, with less price reduction and smaller reductions in obesity, the program could largely pay for itself or come close to breaking even. The final issue is, how do we sell this to the American public and to Congress? The president should frame the investment in obesity medications as critical for national defense, drawing a parallel to how President Eisenhower sold the interstate highway system in 1954, some 70 years ago. Here's how this approach could be effective. Obesity as a national security threat. The obesity epidemic directly affects military recruitment. A growing percentage of young Americans are ineligible to join the military due to obesity and other health-related issues. If the pool of eligible recruits continue to shrink, it could undermine the readiness of the U.S. Armed Forces. Just as the interstate highway system was essential for troop movement and national defense, improving the health of potential recruits could be vital for maintaining a strong military. The second argument is an economic argument. The rising healthcare costs associated with obesity, along with the impact on military readiness, create a dual threat, strain public health resources, and compromise national security. The investment in medications like Ozempic could be sold not only as a health initiative, but also as a national security measure to ensure that the country has a healthy and capable military force. And there are historic parallels in public health. The U.S. has a history of addressing public health challenges as national priorities, from efforts to eradicate polio to public campaigns against smoking. Investments in public health have had broader societal benefits, including safeguarding national security. And finally, appealing to a broader audience. This approach could also appeal to a wider audience beyond military circles. By positioning obesity treatment as an investment in the nation's future through lower healthcare costs, improved worker productivity, and stronger defense readiness, it could gain bipartisan support. The issue becomes less about individual lifestyle choices and more about securing the future strength and safety of the nation. The president selling the investment in obesity medications as essential to national defense would echo Eisenhower's successful framing of infrastructure as a defense imperative, providing a compelling rationale for public and political support. I rest my case. The Peterson Plan to fix obesity in the United States.
Be sure to subscribe to Meandering Musings wherever you get your favorite podcasts. For more about Neil Peterson and to read more Meandering Musings and travel essays, visit meanderingmusings.net. Like the podcast? Please help us grow our listenership. Tell your friends about Meandering Musings and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.